16 minutes before 9 o'clock. We're live from St. Augustine. 80 degrees outside on our way up to a high today of 90 degrees. 50% chance of rain after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Jennifer McGee has stopped by to help us play the music this morning. We appreciate her. She, of course, is an attorney and does a lot of work with wills and elder law issues, probate, divorce. She can help with special needs trusts for children who have special needs. Grandparents' rights, work on those issues as well. Learn more by going to McGeeLawFL.com. That's McGeeLawFL.com. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
People still getting divorced?
They still are.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Man. More guys than girls?
I mean, it's pretty even, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So I always thought that perhaps women disproportionately seek divorce over men. Is it really a 50-50 thing, huh?
I think it's close.
Really?
Especially these days. I think the tides have turned a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In which way? Oh, where more women are seeking divorce.
More women are.
Yeah. What's a common, I mean, what's like, if we had a pie, what's the biggest piece of pie and the reason for divorce?
Cheating.
Okay. Infidelity. Okay. And that's on both sides.
Yes.
Oh, so guys will come in and say, my wife is cheating on me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who's often the culprit? UPS driver?
Somebody at work.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they met somebody at work. Because you're with somebody at work for sometimes 8, 9, 10 hours a day.
You see them more than you see your family.
Yeah, exactly. Is there a sweet spot in terms of length of marriage that people often get a divorce? I mean, we always hear about the 7-year itch.
I think the 7-year itch is pretty accurate.
Really?
But I think there might be some that are not lasting quite as long anymore. A couple of years in and they're calling it quits.
Yeah. Well, so many folks have come out of, you know, you grew up as a child of divorce, right? Or you've seen divorce. And there's a lot more divorce today than there was when these songs were out 50 years ago,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
So the more commonplace it is, probably the more easier it is for you to get over that emotional hurdle of doing it, right?
Yeah. So the also huge increase of people coming in together and being like, hey, we want a divorce together. We don't want to fight about it. Can you help us just do the paperwork?
Oh. Does it ever start that way but then go south quickly?
Oh, all the time.
I think so.
I love they come in and like, oh, this is gonna be uncontested. Don't worry, you don't have to charge us that other rate.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fine. And no.
Yeah, right? I would think if it's a 45-minute consultation, I'd say by minute 20. You know, the gloves are on. Somebody's walked out of the room.
You start talking about
all
the details.
Half of everything? No way.
And you need to pay half the debt?
What? That is hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious, but you got to laugh because it's life, right?
Yeah.
McGeeLawFL.com. I wanted to start out with divorce, but obviously Jennifer spends a lot of time helping people, you know, figure out what's going to happen after they pass away. There's always an interest in trying to do your best by the people that you leave behind. Right.
And absolutely.
Yeah. One of the most fundamental things you can do on that, because I know a lot of you are listening saying, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough stuff to worry about a trust or a will or whatever. If you've got a car, you should have a will, right?
You should have a will. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What happens?
And also, a lot of us have adult children who are in their 20s and 30s. And I've always felt, man, probably even more so than some older folks, these people in their 20s and 30s should have a will, especially if they have children.
I recently had someone just ask me about that, and she owns a home with her boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and they plan to get married, but I said, you know that if something happens to him, his family will own half your house.
Yeah, and if they don't like you, and even if it doesn't matter about like, dislike,
yeah.
There might be other...
Entitlement.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard the story over the years, too, especially here in St. Augustine, where on the flip side of that, people in their 60s, 70s move in together and they feel like for Social Security, tax purposes, whatever, it doesn't make any sense financially to get married. Then somebody, you know, passes away and then the kids swoop in from Ohio, buy the house, kick out the girlfriend who's been the girlfriend for 10 years and she doesn't really have any rights.
Yeah, they need to be protected and you can do it through paperwork even if you don't want to get married.
Yeah.
It's so important because that's exactly what happens. You can even protect them by allowing them to stay in your home for 6 months or
right.
a year if you're not giving them the home because they can get kicked out very quickly.
Yeah.
Sad.
We were talking off the air too. So often in our complex society, people get remarried. There are stepchildren. There were existing natural children. there may be things that people want to do with their resources that they leave behind that impacts those kind of complex financial or complex family situations, right?
Yeah, so they come in together and yeah. Everybody's
it's like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, they're so happy. I have two kids and he has two kids and we're happy and we're going to leave everything evenly to four.
Yeah.
And then a year later, I get a phone call and it's one of them and one of them has passed and like, I'm taking the stepchildren off.
Wow, immediately.
Yeah.
So much for the happy family.
Yeah.
Wow. And then I would think a lot of times those stepchildren, adult stepchildren, may be very surprised to hear that, or they may never even learn it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, the documents are private,
yeah.
So they don't know, and then they're trying to get access. I have those phone calls, too. I recently had one call me and say, my stepmom is doing probate or not. I haven't seen the will. I don't know if there is a will, what's going on. And we filed a notice of appearance to find out that she signed an affidavit saying her husband had no children.
Wow.
So he's
not nice.
Yeah.
Fulfilling the term of evil stepmom.
Right. He's like, wow, not surprised. That's,
really?
That's
that,
what
that
he
was
said.
His reaction?
Yes.
McGeeLawFL.com, McGeeLawFL.com. And if you aren't dealing with one of those situations right now, I imagine somebody in your circle of friends, family, coworkers, they're dealing with a legal issue that surrounds divorce, paternity, wills and estate, probate types of matters. One thing I have learned from Jennifer is that you can manage from the grave, right?
Yes, you can.
You can. I mean, if you have an adult child, as I have had, who has a drug addiction issue, or you have just adult children that aren't particularly financially responsible, you can do some things long after you're dead to make sure that your resources are used in the best way possible to help them and potentially help their children.
Yeah, and it's very common. I think we all have, I have five children. And yeah. You look at them, you're like, okay, which one's going to take care of me? Which one do I need to be careful what they spend? So
yeah.
You can set up right from with a trust, you can just kind of control what's happening all the way past your time not on this earth.
Yeah, and you can also control, too, which one of them, of those five children in your case, would make medical decisions on your behalf. So you have hopefully you never do, but you have a car accident and
yeah.
You're unconscious and somebody has to make a decision about a surgery.
Yes.
There might be one kid that you want making those choices and another kid that you're like, I don't know.
And that's so true with sometimes it's one kid makes the medical choices and one kid's
yep.
going to make the financial choices because they're not always the same kid.
Yep.
So that's something you can delegate as well.
That would be definitely my life. One child who would keep me on life support for probably 20 years after I wanted to be dead. Another one who might consider pulling the plug after an appendectomy. So you just kind of manage those situations.
Yes.
Go to McGeeLawFL.com. That's McGeeLawFL.com. I would think another issue, Jennifer, with a lot of our listeners, they put together a will or something or a trust document. They were living in New Jersey or Connecticut or Ohio 15 years ago. And now they're, in their 60s or 70s. Nobody's looked at that document probably since that time because we, as a client, I would tell you that we don't like looking at these things because they're depressing, yeah. Jennifer.
I know.
Don't want to be sad.
I know.
And so we don't look at these things. And they probably need to be reviewed, don't they? Because your life
do.
Has changed.
Yeah, life has changed. You don't have to update an out-of-state document, but I do recommend it.
Yeah.
It's usually better to update to the laws of where your residence is. So that's a good idea. And but they're outdated in so many ways. The names, even people got married, people passed away. You're not leaving things the same thing. Some people come in, they're minor children, and now they have like 40-year-old children.
Yeah.
They haven't updated it. They have grandchildren. So you need to look at those documents.
Yeah, we'll hear from listeners who say, my kids are doing fine. There are, they're doing well professionally. They've got their own home. They're chugging along. A little worried about my grandkids, though. So maybe you make some adjustments where the grandkids are a little bit more taken care of if you should pass away tomorrow than your kids.
Absolutely.
And you can do those things, right?
You can.
And don't forget about Fido, right? Jennifer can help make sure that your dog doesn't get dropped off at the pound.
I pet trusts.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a big one.
I bet.
Lot of pet owners in our area. They love their pets. Some of us, our kids are all over the place, our dogs and our cats, and those are our loved ones that are with us, and we got to make sure they're taken care of.
Yeah, I have no doubt. My dog and cat, I would think, consider my feelings on a regular basis more so than my adult children.
Yes, they certainly do.
So we're going to make sure they are well compensated for that. You know, I love that. Yeah. Have you seen that commercial on television, the Chewy commercial for the Chewy dog treats and cat treats? Where the big fluffy cat is sitting in the lawyer's office when they're reading the will, and the cat basically gets everything.
I'm not sure I saw that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. I gotta see that.
I'll have to find it online. I'll send it to you. It makes me laugh every time I see it. So it's this big fluffy gray cat that can talk, which I'm a sucker for talking animals, you know, even like the Mr. Ed TV show from back in the day. That really dates me. But yeah, the cat has kind of a swagger attitude, you know, like all the adult kids are there and like, you know, and he goes, you know, you never paid attention to Bob. I was always on Bob's lap, you know, he knew where I was. And then the lawyer starts to read that basically the cat gets everything. They're all outraged. And he's like, of course it worked out this way. Now I get all the Chewy boxes I could possibly handle. Anyway, well, you can take care of your pets and also your loved ones and do it in a very detailed way. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're also going to talk about, you know, having healthcare powers of attorney and does a do not resuscitate order ever work? I want to ask Jennifer about that. It's 6 minutes before 9 o'clock. We're live from St. Augustine. Al Stewart here on 103.9 WSOS Time Passages, playing all of our, you know, Life Might Be Ending Soon songs. We'll have to play Don't Fear the Reaper pretty soon. Jennifer McGee is here, and we were talking about your need for a will, estate planning, all aspects of it. I want to get into that just a little bit more. If something were to happen to you, and you want to make sure that there is a designated person, maybe one or two, that can make healthcare decisions on your behalf, there's a specific document for that, right?
Correct. It's designation of a healthcare surrogate.
Okay. And you really need those. I had this experience with my stepmother late last year. Actually, that was earlier this year. Time flies. Where she was rushed into an ER, and they pretty quickly ask for you to present that document, right?
Yes.
Kind of rolls into the hole when they're, you know, doing an intake for a patient, right? Even if they're in the ICU or what have you.
Yes.
So it's good to have that, right?
Oh, yeah. Very important. Spouses usually can make decisions pretty easily without too much of an issue. But when you start branching out, there could be a conflict of opinion. So who's the one who's going to make the decision, especially when it gets a little more serious and we don't agree with what the next steps are when, you know, the person can't speak.
Yeah. Yeah, in this situation, I think it's not all that uncommon. You know, it's my stepmother. My dad passed away many years ago. There's no other kids. I'm the only, you know, stepchild, only child, period. No other relatives that she has around there. And she's 350 miles away, right? And
yeah.
But as soon as I presented that document, all was good. You know, doctors would talk to me immediately. And they did anyway, sort of on the front end. But it was very quickly asked, hey, do you have that sort of documentation? The other piece of it, too, is because there was a long hospitalization that followed, was, all right, well, got to pay her car insurance, got to pay her house, you know, keep her bills going.
Yes.
But we have there's a document for that, too.
Power of attorney.
And that's really essential because when I went to, she was banking with Truist up in South Carolina. I went to Truist here locally, and they were like, well, can't do jack because until you have this document, which I had, I just had to go find it.
Yes.
And that starts a process. Every bank then ends up taking that document, putting it into their own, you know, regimen, if you will.
Legal department.
Yes. But they're pretty good. I mean, they and some other banks that she had some limited resources with all responded within 72 hours, you know.
Pretty good.
That's not bad.
No, it's not. Not all banks are great. But.
I know. Well, I know a lot. I was frustrated because I was trying to make some things happen quickly on her behalf. And I just assumed I could walk in with the power of attorney document and get it done.
Yeah, they want to make sure. They want to make sure it's an accurate document. Unfortunately, durable power of attorneys are flooded with fraud. So it's a good thing they do a little bit of background
on it. Yeah, it is. It is. And we hear about senior fraud all the time, right?
Yes.
So
I see it.
I bet you see it. Yeah, and it's not good. So anyway, that's fine. I think all those things are good. DNR, do not resuscitate order, right?
Yes.
Now, in my life experience, this actually involved my dad, who did have a DNR, and it was never put into effect, even though it should have been put into effect on numerous occasions. And the excuse was always from the hospital. Well, that's fine that you have a DNR, but it's not our DNR.
Really?
Yeah.
So, well, was it a living will or was it a DNR?
I think it was, I don't know, I'd have to go back and look, but it was done by an estate lawyer up in South Carolina. And, you know, it was told to first responders that he had one, and then he was resuscitated three times on a helicopter going to a trauma center. But I know when he landed in Columbia, South Carolina, they wanted to see the document. The document, you know, you don't carry it in your wallet.
No, you don't. It's good to have definitely your next of kin, whoever is making these decisions, have it. And any doctor that you know you're going to see, have a backup copy. But the DNR here in Florida, anyway, I can't always speak to other states, but it's generally similar because healthcare is pretty universal. They are done with your doctor. A DNR is a very more involved document than a living will.
Right.
The living will is very specific on when you're not resuscitated, and the DNR is anything.
Okay. Yeah, because if you go to, if you are the person responsible at the hospital, you can talk to the doctor, or the doctor will ask if you want to do not resuscitate, and then it gets put on the chart usually, right?
Yes, and your healthcare surrogate should be able to say.
Okay. All right, good. If you have any questions about those kinds of issues, and I know they're morbid, but you got to deal with them because the time to deal with them is not when you're actually in the middle of a crisis.
Yes, sometimes then it becomes too late. Yeah. Unfortunately, too many people come in. Dementia has started to set in. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get testamentary capacity to sign these documents, and we can't always make it happen, and then you have to go to court.
Yeah, yeah, and then that takes up time and takes money,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's the same argument I would make, too, for why you should have a will, because you know, people are going to be, they're already grieving or they're already dealing with all this anxiety and so forth. And now you're going to throw on them the fact that we don't know how the resources are going to be deployed. Perhaps the funeral is not being taken care of, or we don't even know if you want to have a funeral or not, or if you want to be cremated or buried. And,
yes.
You know, and I know it's, once again, people say, well, I don't want to have those conversations, but man, if you have those conversations and you work with Jennifer McGee to get that codified, then nobody has, I mean, people can focus on just
living,
living and celebrating your life, not dealing with all the admin details.
Yes. Anybody who comes in, and there's probably 50-50. Some people are kind of planners. They're like, they want this done. They're ready to do it. And then the other 50% don't want to talk about it. They always feel better when it's done.
Yeah, all of them.
Always.
Yeah. And I found, too, years ago in dealing with you know, my stepmother and my father about this, that yeah, it's a little morbid and creepy. And then you always, as an adult child, you feel like, oh, I'm just swooping in here to put post-it notes on the back of the furniture for when you die, right? I mean, you feel like a buzzard circling around the living room. But very, very quickly, it turns into actually a pretty good conversation, I found, at least in my experience. And it brings peace to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Expectations are set.
Yeah.
So then, okay, I know what to expect. And it eliminates a lot of confusion or misinterpretation from everybody later.
Yeah. And so often, you know, as we all know, death happens, you know, unexpectedly.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not ready for it. I mean, yes, if you have someone who has a terminal illness, you have time to plan, but that's not often the case. I don't know what the numbers are in terms of.
It's probably low, yeah. Yeah. Most people don't know that it's gonna happen, so they're not prepared.
Well, once again, if you own a car, you know, you need to have a will. And if you have anything that is of significance, you know, perhaps you have a coin collection or there's, you know, even family mementos, that sort of thing. You want to make sure those go to certain people. You know, it's not something that you just jot down on a legal pad.
Yeah. And if you have a child.
Yeah, that's really important.
What happens to that child when you're gone?
Yeah, so we have so many adult children that are in their 30s that can't imagine that anything would ever happen to them. And they have kids. And, you know, you may have kicked around the idea of who would get your kids if something happened to you. But if it's not, you know, documented legally.
Single parents, it's a really difficult thing for too. So if you have an absent parent, and that's unfortunate how much I see it, but if you have an absent parent, that's who they're going to look for.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing. So putting paperwork in place is important.
Yeah, so help us out with that. Jennifer McGee is with us, by the way, if you just hopped in your vehicle. We're taking a little break from the music. She, of course, is an attorney here locally. Go to McGeeLawFL.com for any estate, elder law issue, divorce, paternity issues. But that leads to the next topic I wanted to talk about. Grandparent rights, right? Grandparent rights. Say you have a single mom, as you said, absent parent, you know, dad's off somewhere or dad just hasn't been in child's life. Something horrible happens to mom. you're right, social services will go look for dad.
Yes, they will.
What are the rights of the grandparent who perhaps have been taking care of the kid every day for 6-7 years?
Not much. Grandparent rights are not, we don't have many here. So that's really a tough spot for grandparents. I actually have custody of my grandchildren, mm-hmm. so I am familiar with some of those issues. It's important for the parent that when they're alive to put in provisions to seek paternity issues to take care of that, because in death, what's going to happen?
Right.
So when that person is not participating, and you know, sometimes they don't care, they don't want to, you're going to involve their family as well if something happens to you. So you don't know other people that are going to start getting involved. So if you can take care of those issues, you know, now, then in your death, you can protect your child and they can be where they're comfortable and familiar and not be thrust into a uncomfortable place, unknown place when you're gone. They're already dealing with that.
Seems really important, you know, for single parents out there that specifically want to make sure their kids do not go with the spouse, or not the spouse, but the other parent, if
Correct.
You will, that they really don't trust.
Yes.
Or that they know that the other parent really doesn't want to do that role, right?
Correct, yeah.
So if you have somebody like that in your life where you feel like, hey, if I got in a car accident today, I sure as heck don't want my, you know, baby daddy to get this kid.
Yes.
And you want your parents to get him, you better, you know, put that in writing and get it legally documented.
Absolutely.
Jennifer can help you with that. Jennifer McGee, McGeeLawFL.com. That's McGeeLawFL.com. And you can always go old school and dial her up on the telephone, 386-320-7300. That number, 386-320-7300. We're going to put all that up on our Facebook page and on Instagram, too. And we'll be back. Eagles, obviously, here on 103.9 WSOS. That's a good Will and Estate theme song. Already gone. need to play Don't Fear the Reaper, right?
Yeah,
that's a great song. We could come up with all kinds of death and dying songs. You could put it like on an endless loop in the lobby.
I have divorce court on in the lobby, to be honest.
Oh, you have divorce court on?
Almost always.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer does not only estate planning, wills, trusts, and estate, that sort of thing, but she also, of course, helps people with divorce, paternity issues, special needs trusts, and grandparents' rights as well. Talk to me about individual trusts and how they're different than what you might do as a husband and wife or something.
So you as a husband and wife can also do individual trusts, and that's I think lawyers are kind of split on the how to handle that, and I've worked with some mentors that have taught me both ways, so I kind of look at the situation and I adjust as well. But a joint trust is popular. It's less expensive because you're doing one, you're doing everything together, and there's two ways to do it. One, you know, you both have full control. It's revocable. As long as one of you is alive, you can adjust it as needed. And the other way is a joint becomes irrevocable once one of you is gone. And that's a tough one because there's a lot of reasons that come up that you might need to change it and that you really restrict your spouse from being able to do that. The other solution is those two individual trusts. And the reason why I am gearing for those is because I've seen a tick up in where we have our mixed families come in the office. Everybody's happy as kumbaya. And I have two kids from previous marriage and he has two kids from previous marriage. We're splitting everything all four to them when we're both gone. And one of them's gone and the phone rings at the office and the other spouse has taken those stepkids off.
Wow.
And there's a lot of different reasons
sure.
that happens.
Yeah.
And they're not all, you know, just they don't care about the stepkids. Stepkids didn't show up to help when, you know, husband dies and they're upset about it. All different reasons. But ultimately, you think that spouse would definitely want their children to get something that they worked their whole life for. Mm-hmm. So the individual trust can protect your separate children and your spouse. So you can do both.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I think mixed families should go.
Yeah. And Jennifer McGee, she's with us, attorney at law. What happens if somebody sets up a will or trust, once again, I'm going back to the 10, 15 years ago thing, that maybe included the kids and the stepkids. Now they move here. And they create this other document. Is it just natural in the law that that document supersedes an earlier document, or does that have to be dealt with that there might be an older will or trust that was filed in a different courthouse in a different state years
Good
ago?
Good question. So wills, generally, you make a new will. The most recent dated one is the one we follow.
Okay.
That kind of nixes out the old one. A trust, you can have multiple trusts. So if you create an old one and a new one, they can both conflict each other. And the big mistake a lot of people make with their trusts is, did they fund it? And if they did put something in the trust and they have a new trust, you have to move things around. The trust does not automatically do that. So you definitely want your attorney or whoever you're working with to know that you have a previous one. And I like to amend and restate them.
Right. What about filing them? So in order for them to be legit, do they have to be filed in the St. Johns County Courthouse or the Flagler County Courthouse?
Not in Florida.
Interesting.
And I think a lot of states are getting away from it. And I think the problem is, Ohio has, wills from 80 years ago. They don't know if they passed away or not, because if no one lets them know, they moved to another state, got a new will, no one tells them.
Right.
So the backlog of keeping that. So they've stopped doing it. And there's little loopholes with that without it being, I don't know what new will you're talking about. It's lost. And you need that original. So there's those issues. So there are new ways to digitally, keep track of your wills, and they have banks that'll protect them. They're a little pricey. But that's one way to do it. I always have a copy of anything I do for anybody, but I tell them, where's your original? Make sure people know. Something happens to me, this is where you go.
Yeah. Jennifer McGee is with us, if you're just tuning in. And, of course, she's an attorney here locally. And you can connect with her by going to McGeeLawFL.com. That's M-C-G-E-E, McGeeLawFL.com. We'll put all her contact info up on our Facebook and Instagram pages as well. If you have any issues with, having a will, if you don't have a will, you need to get one, regardless of what age you are. And she can do that very affordably. She also handles divorce, paternity issues, special needs trust. She can help you with grandparents' rights issues. And I know from personal experience, you also help people with Lady Bird deeds.
My favorite thing.
Yes. And the Lady Bird deed for somebody who's just moved here from Indiana, here in Florida, because we don't have them in every state. This is a Florida thing. It is
a deed that can leave your home upon your death. So that's the beauty of it. Many times people think about, I'm just going to put my child on my house and that way they don't have to deal with anything when I'm gone. But now you want to refinance, you want to sell. Your child needs to sign. Mm-hmm. They have rights right now to your property. That can be problematic. So this deed is wonderful because it only transfers after you pass away. You have the right to sell, mortgage, change the deed. You can do anything you want as long as you're alive. It only transfers when you pass away. So it's a beautiful, and it's considered inheritance still. Homestead rights are still protected. Mm. So it's a beautiful thing. It's very cost effective. I love doing them.
Yeah. So many people don't have them, right?
Right. Yeah. Everyone should have one.
I know. I learned about this actually from Jennifer when she was on with us maybe last year or whatever, and I tried to do this in South Carolina where they don't have it. They have a different version, but it's not nearly as clean as what we have here in Florida. So to learn more about that, that is just a super easy thing to do, and it's not that costly for you to do
it's not.
Right?
It's so affordable compared to anything else I do. You just prepare the deed. We record it. It's beautiful. It happens quickly, and you're all set.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did that with Jennifer for a member of our family. So we encourage you to do that. Jennifer makes it super easy, and it's super affordable. Go to McGeeLawFL.com, McGeeLawFL.com. You've got a public event coming up where people can come and see you live and in person, kind of like Oprah, right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., I will be at the Craig Flagler Palms Funeral Home on Old Kings Road. And I will be talking about estate planning. And if you own your own business, how do you plan for your estate that way?
Well, that's important too. Yeah, we have a lot of small business owners, and you'll hear a lot from people saying, well, what's your, the plan for, succession or whatever? And it's like people say, I just have a little landscaping business or whatever. But boy, it's important. It's generating money. Yeah, and then it goes to court, right? And it's
automatically. If you don't have a plan, it automatically is going to go to court, or your family won't see anything that's in that bank account or any revenue. If it's a business that can operate once you're gone, they can't do it. Yeah. They have to take it to court, and it's time consuming. The business can fail in that 6 months to a year it takes. I've seen that happen to people where they lose something of real value.
Yeah, either the business goes out of business or it experiences greatly diminished revenues because operationally it's so clunky to run it because there's been no plan put in place.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Jennifer can help you with that. So a lot of you out there, if you don't even, you know, maybe you don't own a business per se, or you've retired or what have you, you have friends, adult children, and others who are involved in businesses. What happens if something were to happen to them? This would be a great opportunity for you to learn more. Where is the event again? How do they learn? I mean, they don't have to sign up or anything. Just show up.
Yeah, just show up. It's at the Craig Flagler Palms Funeral Home on Old Kings Road. And I'll be there at 8 a.m. bright and early.
There you go. McGeeLawFL.com. If you're not able to go to that event, check out the website, McGeeLawFL.com. Jennifer McGee, attorney at law, thank you for all your time this morning. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.